Prestonwood Country Club is a private club in the heart of Cary, North Carolina. Features three 18-hole championship golf courses. That's not all. Look at that picture. That's a nice picture. Has an outdoor practice facility and a full-service pro shop with five PGA-class professionals. State-of-the-art indoor golf learning center with video monitoring capabilities. This place also has an active tennis program, a full-service fitness center, an aquatics center, a kids club, and access to three massage therapists. It also was voted the best food on the PGA Tour Champions Tour, featuring the Red Fox, an English-style a la carte restaurant, and the Oak Room Grill. Features 6,000 square feet of special event space for members and non-members alike. Should you choose to move to Ashburn, Virginia, you could choose to join the Belmont Country Club. Fine establishment has 7 tennis courts, 3 hard courts, and 4 lighted clay courts for all you tennis enthusiasts. There's also a racket and swim center with an adult pool, hot tub, changing rooms, and a food and beverage area around the pool. Also has 3 swimming pools, gated toddler pool for the kids, children's pool with a mushroom, freestyle pool, lap lane pool, designated eating area. In addition, has a fitness center which boasts a fitness evaluation and training center, 3 swimming pools, and a multitude of activities for adults and children. There's 2 restaurants and a children's fitness program, all at Belmont Country Club. If you choose to go to Jupiter Country Club in Jupiter, Florida, you'll find that they have an 18-hole Greg Norman signature golf course. You will also enjoy 12,000 square foot health and fitness center with resort style pools, state-of-the-art fitness equipment, 6 hard true clay tennis courts, indoor outdoor casual dining massage room, and locker facilities. Also has a lighted tennis complex with stadium court, resort-style swimming pool, and a members grill room for casual dining, all found in Jupiter, Florida. Believe it or not, Provo, Utah has a country club. It is called Riverside Country Club. You see the picture there. Features an 18-hole, they call it, prestigious golf course. But what's neat about this place has a 42,000 square foot clubhouse featuring a reception center, private banquet and meeting room, state-of-the-art electronics, tennis courts, a fitness facility complete with a massage treatment room, movement studio for Pilates, Zumba, and yoga classes, cardio weight training, exquisite locker rooms. Our swimming pool complex, they say, includes a 25-meter lap pool, 1-meter, 3-meter diving boards, a kiddie pool, and lastly, a splash pad. And you say, why are you showing us all these country clubs? I'm never going there. All right, well, maybe you want to stay closer to home. How about Quincy Country Club in Quincy, Illinois? For those of you who might want to move to Quincy, you can have an 18-hole championship golf course, 0-depth entry pool, lap area, diving well, grass, lounge, and sunbathing area in Quincy. They also have privacy, and they're never overcrowded, a full menu poolside service, and they also have a pool concierge. That's got to be. A lot of amenities, folks. A lot of country clubs have a lot of amenities. And many of you might say, I wish I could enjoy those amenities. Those look like great amenities. I mean, who doesn't want to do Zumba and eat by the pool? These amenities are reserved for members. And let's face it, folks, who wouldn't want to be a member of those places? You see, membership most certainly has its perks and privileges, and we know this. Your money, if you would choose to join one of these country clubs, first you got to move there. But then if you would choose to join one of these country clubs, your membership will assure you that you will be served, that you will be fed, and that you will be cared for in a way that you've never, ever experienced or known before. You see, this country club concept leads us to believe that that is what membership is supposed to look like, and especially even in the church it's supposed to be. Now, we find ourselves asking when we consider membership, and this is normal, don't think this is a bad thing, but when we consider membership, we find ourselves asking this question: what's in it for me? What is the perk and what are the privileges that can be given to me? You see, this is, and it's recently become evident and expected in today's church, but that was never God's purpose for his church. Author and Pastor Tom Rainer claims that, quote, we join our churches expecting others to serve us, to feed us, and to care for us, end quote. This, folks, was never the purpose of the church and the members who comprise it. So welcome to the Covell Community Church, located in Covell, Illinois. We are not a country club, although, coincidentally, we're a small church that's located smack dab in the country. We do not have a golf course, although we have a lot of people that play golf really well. We do not offer aquatics, a pool, or a fitness center unless it rains a lot and we lose power, at which point your basement will become an aquatics, pool, and fitness center. That we can promise you. There are no tennis courts here. There are no restaurants. We do have air hockey, but it's not hooked up. And we have prepackaged honey buns, cinnamon rolls, and donuts. We have coffee, but it comes from a Mr. Coffee. We are not a country club. We are a church in the country. And amidst all of these negative disclaimers, strangely, we're still attempting to try to attract more and more people, and eventually more and more members. And meanwhile, and this is what's scary, meanwhile, the church is declining rapidly in numbers. Research of 557 churches from 2004 to 2010 indicated that 9 out of 10 churches are declining or growing at a pace that is slower than that of their communities. Now, this might make you feel good. Generationally speaking, 2/3 of the builder generation, those born before 1946, if you're part of the builder generation, you're going to like this. 2/3 of the builder generation are Christians. Now, here's what's interesting. The millennial generation, the largest generation in our nation's history, consisting of those born between the years 1980 and 2000, only 15% of that large populace of people are Christians. Now, folks, those are troubling trends. So what is the church to do? In an effort to right the ship, the church, in many cases, has analyzed and they've attempted to address and look at in the church all of those wrong places, never once thinking to consider the concept of its very own membership. Now, what is a church member? I mean, many of us might have an idea or might think we know what a church member is. What is a church member? Because, folks, we and you are not just numbers. Rather, we are an important, privileged part of God's plan to grow and sustain his church. As the Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible defines it, a member is, quote, a Christian who is part of the body of Christ which composes the church. As a Christian believer, this is good news because you may not know this. As a Christian believer, you are a member of the universal church. When you chose to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when you said, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ, you instantly became a member of God's universal church. And for that, I congratulate you. You should feel good about this. Now, you also have the opportunity, because you're a member of the universal church, to become a member of God's local church, whether it's Covell or anywhere else that you would go. But this word body that we just spoke of, this word body is critically important to our topic today, and it's something that we're going to talk a lot about today, and here's why. Because the body will fail if its members don't function. The universal church will falter, and it is faltering, and it is shrinking because the people are not functioning. The Covell Community Church will fail and it will fall if its members choose not to function. Let's look at our sermon text for today, which comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 20. Folks, this is going to be a very long sermon series, so we're just going to prepare you now. I'm guessing 6 weeks, it could go longer, I don't know. But I will tell you this, we are going to take this 1 Corinthians 12 passage and we're going to split it right in half, and we're going to do that today. So we're going to read verses 12 through 20 to start with. Next week, we'll follow up with the second half of that passage. Here's what this passage says. Now, it's interesting because the heading of in the Living Bible calls this the functions of the Holy Spirit. And I love that word functions. You're going to hear that a lot today. Here's what Paul says. He says, our bodies, and he starts with that word bodies. Our bodies have many parts, but the many parts make up only one body when they're all put together. So it is with the body of Christ. Each of us is a part of the one body of Christ. Some are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together into one body. We've been baptized into Christ's body by the one Spirit and have all been given that same Holy Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. What would you think if you heard an ear say, I'm not part of the body because I'm only an ear, and not an eye. Would that make it any less part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye. Then how would you hear? Or if your whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? But that isn't the way God has made us. He has made many parts for our bodies and has put each part just where he wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it had only one part. So he's made many parts, but there's still only one body. Now in verses 12 and 13 of this sermon text, Paul illustrates the model of membership into the body of Christ. Now there's an example that we can use regarding country club membership. Because to become a country club member, it will require money, and it might, in some cases, require merit. But to join the body of Christ, your requirements will be faith, will be love, will be trust, and will be baptism by and through the Holy Spirit. That will make up your membership. Jesus said in John 6:63, he says, only the Holy Spirit gives eternal life. Those born only once with physical birth will never receive this gift. Now I have told you how to get this true spiritual life. Folks, a universal church member, a local church member, has this spiritual life. You see, your membership, and this is neat, guys, your membership is part of the craftsmanship of the Holy Spirit. He put you in this body. Now, if you ask me, why did he put me in this body? I don't know why he put you in this body. I don't know how half of you come to Covell, because I don't even know. And I'm not saying it's a bad church at all. It's a great church. I'm just saying we're not in a great location. Do you realize that? We're geographically challenged, and you still come. I've often wondered, why do you come to this church? The parking's terrible. I mean, there's a swamp out there when it rains. Sorry, it's true. Look at the building. It doesn't look that great, folks. Why do you come? I'm going to tell you why you come. Because Jesus Christ said that you are supposed to come. See, in many cases, you may have never thought that you would end up in Covell, but God craftsmanship created your membership. And today, you sit in this church because God said, I need you to function and be a part of my body. It was his idea. Many years ago, 20 years ago, 21 years ago, we were living in Monticello, Illinois. I had no idea that I was going to end up in Covell, Illinois. Remember when I got the calling to become a pastor, and I called the pastor that was here, and I said, hey, listen, I got the calling, and he said, you got to come up here. I've been praying for you since I met you. I want you to come up here. I want you to be an associate pastor. I want you to go to Moody Bible Institute and do all the studies. I want you to become a pastor. I said, but where is this? And he said, Covell. I said, Covell? I remember the first time I drove up here, and I thought, I am never going to find this place. I'd been here before, but never before like that, like driving. I remember walking in, I was in the basement, I can tell you exactly who was in that basement. I remember sitting there, I was thinking, does God really want me here? I went home and my wife said, what'd you think? I said, oh, there's no way they're going to accept me. And I got the call and they said, yeah, we want you. And I thought, why would God want me here? And you may ask yourself the same thing, why does God want me here? And it's because his craftsmanship has made you part of this membership. He wants you. You may say, I don't even want to be here. And God still wants you to be here. You see, the body will fail if its members don't function. He put you in this body. I'm going to give you an example. My dad is 70 years old this year. 70 years old. You're welcome. No, you're going to be 70. It's 2015, right? There you go. Nice try. All right, so my dad is 70 years old. He's done a lot. He served in Vietnam. He ran a seed corn business. He was a farmer, a father, a husband. My dad's been through a lot. He's got a 70-year-old body. He probably says what feels like a 90-year-old body. But what's interesting is my dad has a 70-year-old body, but here's what's neat. He needed a new hip. Actually, he needed quite a few new hips. And so he got a new hip, and I wasn't there because I couldn't have handled it, but the surgeon probably told my dad, I'm assuming, hey, you're going to get a new hip, and your body will just function with that new hip, right? That's right. So here's what happens, folks. He got the new hip. He can walk, and the body had a choice. His aging body had a choice. His aging body could have said, I don't want you, you new hip. I reject you, you new hip. You look different. You smell different. You don't even seem like you're the same because you're so different. But the body said, we'll accept you. you new hip. My body will function with you and your new hip. And it is functioning with the new hip. And my point, folks, is this. If you can look here and say, you know what? I'm really not even a member of this church. I'm new to this church. This doesn't apply to me. I can tell you tenure means nothing in this church. If this is your first time here, if this is your 400th time here, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You will function. If you choose to be here, you'll function as a member right here. And the body will bring you in, and the body will welcome you, and the body will function with you in this church. That's how the body works. And many of you, I hope, in the first service, maybe, like, you know, he's right, because I feel like I've been welcome. Folks, that's the goal. The goal is that you'll feel so welcome here that you'll feel like that you can function here. That's the goal. That's what a functioning body does. Paul said in Romans 12, 4 and 5, he says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Paul said in Colossians 1, 18, and he being Jesus, he is the head of the body of the church. And in Colossians 3, 15, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Now the question is, why are we thankful? There could be a million reasons why we're thankful. But let me give you one. Because you became a member because of Jesus' grace and mercy. And not because of your merit. And not because of your social standing. And not because of your money. You see, when you came into the Covell Community Church, the body said, welcome to the Covell Community Church. God said, I got a purpose for you. I don't care about your money. I don't care about your tenure. I don't care about your culture. Welcome to my body, the church. Now, if someone said, I didn't feel that way, we need to talk. Seriously. I don't think that's the case. Folks, this is the goal of the church, is to function together as a body. So why are we thankful? We're thankful because the Holy Spirit had everything to do with it, and he's the one that did it. Let me give you an example of this. There was an impoverished old man who applied for membership in a wealthy old church. The pastor tried to blow him off and put him off with all kinds of evasive remarks. The old man became aware that he was not welcome at this church. He finally told the pastor that he would go home and pray about his membership. After several days of praying, he returned from his prayer session. Well, asked the pastor, did the Lord give you a message? Yes, sir, he did, was the old man's answer. Lord told me it wasn't any use. The Lord said, I've been trying to get in that same church myself for 10 years, and they won't let me in either. All right, you can use that if you want. That's fine. Here's the point, though, folks. Here's the point. Jesus is here. He's here. It's more than just a picture. This is him. This is his place. This is his body. This is his culture. This is him. He is here. And he wants you to be here. He wants you to function here. He wants you to be a part of the working body here. And Jesus is head of the body of the church, the one who is the true leader of his church. Jesus wants more and many diverse members in this church. You know, it's seen in 1 Corinthians 12, 14, and 17. Paul uses words like nose, ears, eyes, functioning parts of the body. Listen to verse 14. He says, yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. And then in 18 through 20, he says, he's made many parts for our bodies and put each part, this is so important, he's put each part just where he wants it. Now, you may have questioned your existence. You may have questioned your membership in this church. And God says, I put you here just where I wanted you to be. You're here for a reason. The reason is his craftsmanship. That's it. He built this place, he sustains this place, and he grows this place because you are a functioning part of this place. And he wants you here. Many years ago, I woke up in the morning with back pain, terrible back pain. That's not unusual, but this is like really bad back pain. Like, I said, no. Need to call the urologist because that happens monthly. And so she called the urologist and she said, set up an appointment. I went in and the guy said, well, it's probably kidney stones. You've had kidney stones before. You're probably having kidney stones. So he said, I'm going to run you through for an x-ray. Got the x-ray. And so he got the results back and he said, good news and bad news. Good news, no kidney stones. Yeah. Bad news, gallstones. I said, gallstones? What gallstones? My dad, my brother both had their gallbladder removed. I didn't know a whole lot about it. I said, does that mean I'm going to die? He said, no, you're not going to die. We're just going to pull your gallbladder out. And he said, you'll talk to your surgeon. I go to my surgeon, and I said, is this bad? This sounds bad. And he said, well, it's not bad. He said, you don't even need your gallbladder. Now, I'm a pastor, and I'm a believer, and I thought about it. I thought, well, wait a second. You know, if I didn't need my gallbladder, God wouldn't have put it in there. So I pressed, I prodded, I poked. And I said, so what does a gallbladder do? And then he told me, he said, listen, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pull your gallbladder out. Which he was not real careful about saying that either. It's kind of gross. He said, I'm going to pull your gallbladder out. He said, and what will happen is your body will learn to function without the gallbladder. In fact, it'll do a great job. You won't even feel like you need it. He said, there'll be some changes. Oh, there were changes, all right. He said, get acclimated with the public restrooms in Bloomington Normal. I get it. That might have been too much information, but he shared it with me, so I'll share it with you. And he said, there'll be changes. And he said, but your body will adapt to it. And I don't even realize I don't have a gallbladder anymore because my body's adapted to it. The reason I bring this up, folks, is this. We function better when we're all together. And when one person is not here, it means somebody else has to pick up the slack and do more here. That's taxing on the body. That's difficult for the body. And while the body adapts, it's not meant to work that way within the body. You see, God put every piece of your body together for a reason, a purpose. And the fact that we have to have missing parts and pieces, though it works, it doesn't work as well. Quite frankly, I wish I had my gallbladder back. Nothing I can do about it now, but I wish I did. And God wants all of you to be in this church functioning together and working properly. That's the way the church is supposed to function. It's functioned similarly. Look at verse 27 of our passage. This is for next week, but it's a preview. And it's something I think stands out. It's something that's important. Paul says this. He says, now here's what I'm trying to say. All of you together are the one body of Christ. Listen to these words, folks. If you miss anything else, don't miss this. And each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. You matter. You're a member. You matter. And the body needs us to function together. You're a separate and necessary part of it. Now think about that for a moment. See, this has a lot of meaning and it has a lot of power for us today. The members of our church, while faithful, you're faithful, while loyal, lovable, most of the time peaceful. Folks, we're not always functional. Now I know that you might not like hearing that. I don't like hearing that. I like saying that. But we're not always functional. We're not always functional. Now, why is that? Because in many cases, we become country club members. In many cases, we come in and we say, what can you do for me? Imagine if the membership changed. Imagine if the rules changed. Imagine if someone came in and said, I want to become a member. And I would say, what can you do for us? What will you do in the name of Jesus? How will you, because you're a separate necessary part of it, how will you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, how will you help us to function better as a member? I want to share with you some words. This is interesting. Because Jesus is, he gave his life for us. You see, that was what he did. Can you imagine if part of that membership was that we said, are you willing? That would be one of the questions, one of the qualifying questions. You say, I want to join this church. I say, are you willing to die for it? Many people might say, what? Die for it? You know, in third world countries, that's what they're doing. You join a church, you better be willing to die for it. We don't even think about that here. See, and here, if you say, I want to join a church, because you may say, I want to see what you guys can do for me as a church, but what if the qualification was that we were supposed to give everything for the church? And so, in many ways, we treat it like a country club. We say, what can I get from it? Forget my service, S-E-R-V-I-C-E, how will you serve us, S-E-R-V-E-U-S. We ask, how is this church going to provide the perks? What does this church have that can provide for me and my family? I want privileges. I want amenities. And we're used to that. You see, you don't become a member unless you're going to get something out of it. We join Sam's Club because we get a lot out of it. That's our Friday night hangout. It's money well spent. Go there every Friday night. What are the amenities? I didn't do a really good job of selling this place, did I? Old building. It floods occasionally. The parking lot's a swamp. 101 years old, folks. Wait till it turns 95 in here in the summer. You're going to find out what I'm talking about. Those hands can't fan fast enough. That air conditioner's out there begging for mercy. Just please, please don't do this to me. This is where we're at. This is what God has given us. The question is, how will we function together? How will we make this thing work in the name of Jesus? And I want to make sure that we understand this, because this is important. This is not about megachurches. If you think this is about megachurches, it's not. It has nothing to do with megachurches. If you say, oh, he's just ripping the megachurches, that's not it at all. I love our megachurches. I think they're important. I think they serve a major place in our communities. And I think that they are doing a wonderful job for the most part. But I'm going to tell you this. This is not about megachurches. It's about every church. It's about all churches. This is about the membership that comprises all churches. It's about every single member who makes up the body, universal church and the local church, and says, I want to be a member, and may never ask, how can I function? How can I help? What can I give? What can I do as a member? You see, that's what Jesus saw with the church. That was his goal of the church. Can you imagine the disciples said, you know what, Jesus, that 3 years you trained us, we appreciate it, but since you're gone, we're just going to kick off and wait for a while, just do nothing. Nothing. You would not have Acts chapter 2. You wouldn't have Acts chapter 3. You wouldn't have the book of Acts. You wouldn't have a church. But those people, those disciples, all were chosen. They were picked. It was God's craftsmanship that brought them into membership. And those disciples were chosen to go out and to do a job that many of them probably never even thought they would want or really thought they could do. And they did it because they trusted in God and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians 5, 25, 29, and 30, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ feeds and cares for it. For we, says Paul in verse 30, are members of his body. Jesus gave himself up for her. Are you willing to give up those things that are important to you for her? This is not a popular sermon, folks. This is not what you call a softball. See, a lot of us have to consider, what are we doing? What is our membership? What are we doing as a member for his body? The model of church membership is about giving, not receiving. It's modeled after one body, not after an assortment of entitlements and privileges and amenities. It's unity amidst diversity, and we are diverse. I have told my wife, someday when I retire from ministry, I said, this is what I'm going to do. Have I not? I said, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to join a church, and I'm going to serve that church like they've never seen. I will make that pastor. I will let that pastor relax and enjoy himself. I'm going to give him peace. I'm going to help that congregation. I'm going to dedicate myself to the entire thing. And why? Because I'm in the throes of it, and I understand just how important that membership is and just how important that service is and just how important that giving is. We have to understand how body functions. This body has to function. 15% of the millennial generation are Christians. You know what that says? That says we're not functioning. That says the church is dying. Are you okay with that? I'm not. Now, I can stand up here and paint a rosy picture and tell you that all things are great right now in regards to the church. I can't do that. So the church has to function properly to make sure that it is healthy from the standpoint of its own body. Folks, there are people leaving in droves from churches today. And you want to know what? I blame myself and ourselves as pastors today. You want to know why? Because we don't preach topics and sermons like this today. They're not popular. They're not fun. Someone earlier said, man, you got a lot of guts to give that sermon. I've got 5 more weeks of this. I figure by the time I get done, we'll have 14 people here. Nobody's coming back for this thing, right? The worst thing is when you're the pastor, you get to look out and see all the faces and those looks of, what are you doing? I get it. It's not comfortable. But you know what? God never called us to be comfortable. He called us to be functional. See, we have misplaced this whole idea of church. We have just, for whatever reason, we thought, you know what? My Sunday morning is all about me just coming in and being comfortable. I hope you are. But I'm going to tell you something. We are also called to be uncomfortable with regards to our service for Christ. The disciples were uncomfortable, folks. Don't think for a moment that they said, hey, this is fun facing death every day. We love being criticized and mocked and rebuked and whipped and beaten and spit at. It's great. They said, well, keep doing it because we're functional, because we care about the body. Jesus died for the body. So ask yourself this today. What do I give? So there's a lot of diversity among our unity. Everybody has different gifts and abilities. It's so neat. And as a pastor, I get to see it. But many times our congregation doesn't see it among the members because they're not functioning together as members. I would love it if someone can look over and say, I know him. He's the one that does a really great job doing this part of the service. And somebody else can look over and say, I love her. She does such a great part with this service. And everybody functions together. And that burden doesn't just fall on the pastor. What do I give? It's about many parts who form partnerships and build relationships through their church membership. It's about people who are first faithful and then say as a church member, I today choose to be functional. We are necessary parts of the whole. Now here's what's neat. What is neat is that I've gotten to see all of you function in some way, shape, or form. Some of you I know better than others. And that's neat. That's neat. I get to see what you guys do on a daily basis, but more so I get to see how God blessed you and gifted you on a daily basis. And you want to know something? Let me tell you something. You say, I don't matter. What are you saying, Chad? I got to do more. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to be here. That's called being functional. I need you to be here. Because let me tell you something. When I look out and see Courtney smile, that's powerful. Courtney's got a great smile. And you want to know something? Somebody comes in on a bad day and see Courtney smile, probably going to make their day. That's true. You know, somebody sees Troy. They'll see Troy and they'll say, you know what? Seeing Troy here, young guy, strapping guy, good to see a guy here, made my day. So first and foremost, as a functioning body, we got to be here. You know, my dad could have wanted a new hip, but if the hip was never put in, it never would have worked anyway. They put the hip in and it works. You got to be here. That's part of functioning. And you got to want to be here. And you got to want to look at that volunteer board and say, how can I serve here? And you got to look at your fellow man and you got to go up and shake their hand and give them a hug and love them and show them how much you appreciate them. That's how you function as a body. Now, a lot of people will say, and I don't know if it's the case in this church, but it's got to be the case in churches, I think, because the church is declining so rapidly that I think a lot of people say, but I don't feel comfortable doing that, and I think we're getting someplace. Being uncomfortable in a church probably means we're being pretty functional as a church. How uncomfortable are you willing to get? This is not a country club. This is a church in the country, and we got a lot of responsibility. Country club members understand and embrace their amenities because they are willing to pay dues. D-U-E-S. Church members are being asked to stand and embrace their responsibilities. We must all be members willing to say, I want to be functional. I want to do what Christ brought me here to do. Perks and benefits will come, folks, and this I can promise you. If you say, what can the church do for me? Let me answer it this way. Watch what God will do for you. When you are functional, when you are relational, when you choose to build this body of Christ, watch what God will do for you. Dan and Laura Vollmer could not have children. They were told they were not going to have children. Today they have two little tiny baby girls. Dan is a functional member of the Covell Community Church. Dan, you feel privileged? Yes, he does. Because Dan realizes that the privileges can come from Jesus Christ because he loves you and everybody else. So if you say, what can the church do for me? You just sit back. You just sit back, get functional, get your hands dirty, get uncomfortable, and then watch what God will do for you. What is a church member? It's a Christian who is saved by faith and grace, not by merit, but through belief and baptism in the Holy Spirit. You might be a member of the Universal Church. I hope you are. Perhaps you're also a member of the Covell Community Church. I hope you are. But in either case, God has brought you to this body, and he wants you to be a part of this body. God has brought you to this place to be part and functioning in his body. Now, this is the goal, folks, that your membership will build a relationship, a stronger faith-based relationship with Jesus Christ. Next week, we are going to ask, and he and his word will provide the answer, what is a functioning church member? Verse 27, of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now here's what I'm trying to say. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Congratulations. Whether you remember or not, you all matter. 5 more weeks of this. Are you with me? Are you with me? Get ready. All right, let's stand and close. Hymn number 491, Jesus I Come. Folks, I was going to pick on you today. I've had this idea for several years. In fact, I at one point thought about doing it at Funk's Grove, and I thought, man, they're not going to like that at all. But I thought, you know what, to make our point known, just how important all of you are, each necessary separate parts of it, I thought, wouldn't that be neat if I took this section and I just had them sing while all of us watch them? And then I thought, man, I love the people in that section, though, and they're not going to love me if I do that. So that's why I'm telling you about it, not making them do it. But my point is, if they sung with nobody else singing, they would be uncomfortable. You might be staring at them. And most of you are probably saying, glad it's not us. We sat in the right place. My point is this, folks. If it's only them singing, it's not going to be very loud, but I bet it would be really good with you guys. My point is that all of us together make up this body of Christ, and all of us together work better, sound better, look better, do better for this body of Christ. We've all got to do this together. That's what we do. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you brought us here for a reason. Sometimes we even wonder why that reason is, but we know there's a reason. Your craftsmanship created this membership, and for that we are grateful. And I thank you for bringing us here for a purpose, and the purpose is to glorify and honor your Son, Jesus. And I pray today that you will grow us. Help us to become disciples. Help us to become leaders, volunteers, givers in this church. And I pray today that we, because we know we will, that we will experience the privileges and the benefits and the perks of being members in this church. And for that, we're grateful. Thank you for what you've done for us, and thank you for this body that you've created. Help us to function together, to love each other, and to continue to grow this body to the glory of your name. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.